This VPR News podcast is made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Please make a contribution at vpr.net. Thanks.
Two nationally known healthcare policy thinkers will be in Vermont tomorrow night engaging in a debate over healthcare organized by the Janus Forum at UVM. Yesterday, we heard from Arnold Kling of the Cato Institute, who argues that while our current system of health insurance is broken, a universal single-payer plan similar to that kind used in many European countries is not the way to fix it. Syndicated columnist and co-founder of American Prospect magazine Bob Kuttner disagrees. Kuttner says the first red herring about single-payer health care is that it limits choice for the patient. And if you want proof, look at Medicare.
It is the universal part of our system, namely Medicare, where people have complete freedom to choose their doctor and their hospital. It's the private insurance part of the system where they herd you into managed care, limit which doctors you can see, require a paper chase of referrals, limit which hospital group you can go to. So the people who argue that single-payer limits choice have it exactly backwards. It's private insurance that limits choice.
Well, one of the people we've spoken with about this is Arnold Kling of the Cato Institute, and he did bring up that point of choice. And his point was that because a single-payer system would work in a sort of statistical cost-effective way, some of those more expensive treatment options would not be available, and people wouldn't stand for that.
First of all, you have all kinds of rationing now. You have rationing based on ability to pay. You have rationing based on increasingly expensive copays and deductibles. And increasingly, people who don't have blue-chip health policies don't get the kind of freedom of choice that the Cato Institute advertises. So we already have rationing. Secondly, a lot of these very expensive procedures would be less expensive. You would be taking the profit out of the system. You wouldn't have gold-plated treatments where a lot of the gold plating was just to maximize reimbursements. Now, around the edges, there might be some limitations on treatments that may not be medically indicated. A lot of the money in our present system goes for treatments that the system comes up with because it maximizes reimbursements.
Proponents of single payer also often point to the many other industrialized nations that have it and say that it works well. But what about the sheer size of the population of the United States? We don't have the population that Finland has or Great Britain even. Can we make it work given the huge numbers of people in this country?
I think it's a completely bogus argument. I mean, it's no harder to make a system work when you have 300 million people as we do, or when you have 85 million people as Germany does. You wouldn't have some central bureaucrat in Washington making these decisions, which is the picture that they like to conjure up. The actual delivery of health care would continue to be decentralized. More people would have more freedom of choice than they have now, and a whole layer of paperwork would simply be eliminated.
You're making it sound like it would be less expensive, though. How would all this be paid for?
Let's look at some of the international comparisons. We spend about 15% of our total national economy on health care. The countries that have universal comprehensive health insurance spend 8 or 9%. Think about what that savings would be. The net savings would be so large, you would not need to increase taxes. You would need to shift the form of payments from employer-paid health insurance to insurance paid by the government, and that would require some fancy footwork on a transitional basis. But once the dust settled, the country would be paying less overall for its health insurance and would be getting more back.
One thing I'm sure doctors would love to see go away with a single-payer system is the incredible amounts of malpractice insurance they have to pay under the current system that we have. However, if doctors in the U.S. were essentially put on a salary by the government in single-payer, would that act as a disincentive to do extra work, go the extra mile for patients, and would we still be able to attract the best minds to the profession of medicine?
You know, most doctors I talk to are so sick of the paper chase and speed up where in order to maintain their incomes, they have to take on more and more patients, and they have less and less time with every patient. And that is a squeeze brought to you by our friends, the private insurance industry. I don't know of any single-payer system that pays doctors a flat salary. Typically, a doctor who is seeing 500 patients on a regular basis gets less salary than a doctor who's seeing 3,000 patients on a regular basis. And they also adjust the doctor's salary depending on how old and how sick the average patient is. In Britain, where they were having trouble attracting people into the field of primary care medicine, they ended up lowering the excess bonuses and high salaries to specialists and paying more to the primary care docs, and the shortage of primary care doctors disappeared. And I think the final argument to the claim that the country is too damn big, it can't administer this, look at Medicare. It's a single-payer system for people over 65. It spends about 3 or 4 cents in the dollar on administration. Private systems spend anywhere between 20 and 30 cents on the dollar. So you don't have to go to Canada or Germany or Britain for your test case. You have it right here in the case of Medicare.
Do you think this can happen in this cultural climate, this political climate in this country? Are Americans and politicians willing to accept single payer?
Well, here's what makes me very sad. Single payer is this kind of wonky word. People aren't quite sure what it means. It has vaguely Orwellian connotations. But if you say Medicare for all, which is really all this would be, something like 2/3 to 3/4 of Americans say, yeah, that's what I want. But then if you say to the typical politician, well, how about that? The typical politician says, that's never going to happen. It's just not within the realm of the possible. But my argument is, if every politician who was really in their heart for single payer were to conclude that, damn it, I'm going to go for this, then it would happen. And I hope President Obama, rather than doing health reform this year, waits a year, studies it, because if the President of the United States were to stand up and say to the American people, I have studied this, and you'd have more choice, less cost, we'd have better health outcomes, and by the way, the only thing standing in the way of this is the insurance industry, but we'll find something else for these people to do. I think if Obama were to say that, we could win it.
Bob Kuttner is co-founder and co-editor of the American Prospect magazine, also a columnist for Business Week and the Boston Globe. His most recent book is Obama's Challenge, America's Economic Crisis and the Power of a Transformative Presidency. He'll be arguing for single-payer health care at UVM's Janus Forum April 23rd. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for talking with me.